future and these selective proverbs. I've got a number of kind of famous lines from Hollywood movies. If I give you the line, I wonder if you know in your own hearts and minds who said it and what film it is. The first one's quite easy. May the force be with you. May the force be with you. It is, of course, from the film Star Wars. And if you're a Trekkie or you want to catch a Trekkie out, ask them who said it. Most of them will say Han Solo. But actually, earlier on in the film, General Dodonna says it first. So Han Solo, he's a latecomer to the show. But that's just a bit of trivia. How about this famous line? There is no place like home. There is no place like home. Well, it came from the 1939 film, The Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy is the one who said it. How about this famous line? You're going to need a bigger boat. You're going to need a bigger boat. It was Chief Brody in the classic 75 film Jaws. And I remember as a teenager going to see it. What a film that was. All the follow-up films were terrible, but the original was brilliant. Or this one. To infinity and beyond. To infinity and beyond. I mean, you don't get an award for saying Buzz Aldrin in Toy Story. And then lastly, how about this one? Oh, I don't want to think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. Because after all, tomorrow is another day. Let me say it one more time. Oh, I don't want to think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. Because after all, tomorrow is another day. Well, Gone with the Wind and Scarlett O'Hara said those words. And it's a line she repeats throughout the film in various forms. And what she's saying is, I don't want to think about that today because I feel guilty for the mistakes I've made and the bad choices I've made. If I can push it to one side and think about tomorrow, there is hope. I don't have to be weighed down by the burden or the guilt of my mistakes. I can eject them and think about tomorrow, and tomorrow's a new day and we start again. That's the logic behind her line. So Scarlett's optimism is simply based on another day and another chance. Another day and another chance. But these proverbs give us a surer foundation than a hope tomorrow will bring better luck. These give us principles and insights that if you build your life on, when tomorrow comes, your life, your house will stand firm. Why? Because you are building it on a solid foundation. So unlike Dorothy, it's not wishful thinking. It is factual principles that you can apply to your lives. Well, we've got about six of them, so we better get on and zoom through them. Here's the first one, a good heart, I'm going to call it a good heart. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. The Good News Bible, I like the Good News Bible. It's a kind of an English translation that's quite old these days, but it was especially written for people who have English as a second language. And I tend to find I use it a lot these days. If you are good, you are guided by honesty. People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. So I'm going to call it a good heart. Some of you all know the name Stuart Briscoe. Stuart Briscoe was a great preacher who grew up in our type of churches. He had a successful TV show on Christian channels and a radio program alongside his wife Jill. He was pastor of a church in America, and he has written numerous books. Great communicator. He passed away, I think, last year, Stuart Briscoe. And he says, when he was a young man, and he grew up in Manchester, when he was a young man, he worked in a bank. And almost on his first or second day, his bank manager said to him, if so-and-so calls, you tell them I'm not here. So if so-and-so calls, you tell them I'm not here. So Stuart Briscoe said, oh, are you planning to go somewhere? No, said the bank manager. I just don't want to speak to him. So if he calls, you tell him I'm not here. So Stuart Briscoe said, hold on, let me understand. Do you want me to lie for you? Well, the boss got angry and he was outraged And Stuart said, I prayed quickly to God and God gave me insight, gave me an answer. So before the boss could get really mad and say something that might be like, you're sacked, Stuart said this, you should be happy because I won't lie for you, because that means you can assume I won't lie to you. And that appeased his boss's anger. And Stuart Briscoe kept his integrity. He didn't have to compromise. You see, integrity is being true to what you believe, a good heart. And if it is wrong to lie at church, then it is wrong to lie at work, and it is wrong to lie in the home. We are to be consistent in our values and our principles wherever we are. And this proverb says that if you have integrity, it's a guide through life. The man or woman who lives with integrity will enjoy life without shame or secrets. You've got nothing that's going to come back and haunt you. No skeletons in the cupboard because you haven't put any skeletons in the cupboard. You have honesty and integrity to guide you. But by way of contrast, the man or the woman who lives without integrity, one who is unfaithful to what they believe, they will find life to be false and crooked, and it leads sooner or later to disaster, according to this proverb. So have a good heart. Be what you are, wherever you are. Here's the second proverb. Chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And again, I like the Good News, or the Living Bible actually, paraphrases it. Before every man there lies a wide and pleasant road. That seems right, but in the end, but ends in death. Now, I started my sermon with a 1939 sermon illustration, Gone with the Wind. So let me give you another one from that year. Yeah, I know how to be contemporary. Author L. Frank Baum was sitting in his office looking at his filing cabinet. It had three drawers, and the drawers at the top two were numbered alphabetically. The first one, A to N, and the second one, O to Z. A to N on file drawer number one, O to Z on file drawer number two. That gave him the inspiration, the second drawer, for his book and his film, which has since been made into over 50 films. Oz, O-Z, I know. And he completed his story, The Wizard of Oz. And there's a little scene in The Wizard of Oz, a little song, I'm going to play it to you in a moment. And it gives us the principle that Solomon discovered 3,000 years earlier. Be rational, engage brain, make the right decision. You know, in the film, they almost ejected the most famous song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, because they ran out of time. They thought it was a filler, and they nearly kicked it out, but they kept it in. And that became the film's greatest song, but so did this one. And I think this is the principle Solomon is trying to get to us. So enjoy the clip. It only lasts for a minute.
But how do I start for Emerald City? It's always best to start at the beginning, and all you do is follow the yellow brick road. Just follow the yellow brick road.
My, people come and go so quickly here. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road.
Wizard of Oz. You'll find he is a wizard of wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever a wizard of wiz there was.
because of the wonderful things he does. If you're singing that all day long. But the principle's the same, and Solomon discovered it 3,000 years earlier. Stick to the proper pathway. For Dorothy, it's follow the yellow brick road. Jesus said in life, there is a broad road that leads to destruction. Many are on it. Or there is a narrow road that leads to life, and only few find it. Make sure you are on the right path. Don't just go with a crowd, because there is a way that seems right to people. But the end thereof is death. So choose your path in life wisely, says Solomon, says Jesus. You see, the wide path might look good. I think it's a bit like fast food advertising. You know, if ever you go to somewhere like McDonald's, you look at the pictures and they sell you the dream burger. It looks scrumptious. And then you order it and you open up the box and the bread is kind of stale and the burger's cold and the lettuce is limp and the fries, you know, have been there for about 20 minutes. And that's why no one ever looks happy eating a happy meal. I don't know if you ever noticed that. What you get is not what they promise. They promise and you get. And in life, this world says, look what I've got for you. But it can't deliver. So Solomon says, choose your path in life wisely. And the solution is to follow that yellow brick road. Hey, follow the Creator. He's your guide. Follow his instructions, the Word of God. And it leads to life. Be rational. Here's the next proverb. Chapter 15 and verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And again, the Good News Bible translates it, get all the advice you can, and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail. Hey, we all need advice, wise advice. Someone has said, we could all save ourselves a lot of words if we'd only remember that people rarely take advice unless they pay for it. We are stubborn creatures who like to do things our way. Unless we've paid a solicitor for his advice, unless we've paid a counselor for their, unless we've paid, we tend to just let it go in one ear and out the other. But this proverb reminds us that there is wisdom in advice from others. Now on Wednesday, UK Rishi Sunak, our Prime Minister, announced the general election for July the 4th. Now, whether you like Rishi or not, actually, he's the figurehead. He has a cabinet of advisors. And you may say, well, they're not helping him very much, they're giving him a bad advice, or you may say they're giving him good advice. But anyone who is Prime Minister or President has a council of advisors who pull their brains together, because no one person has the ability to lead the country on their own. Whether it's Richie, or whatever his name is, or whether it's the opposition, they all need advice from others to do their job. And in life, wise are the people who say, actually, to manage life, I'm going to pick on so-and-so's brains and hear what they say. But let me suggest, don't just go to Fred or Frieda down the road and say, what do you think about this? Choose people you trust. Choose people who are godly. You look at their lives and you can see Christ in them. You can see a godliness within them. Choose people who are righteous. They practice what they preach. They're the people you go for advice. Don't get it from Love Island. Don't get it from Big Brother. Don't get it from EastEnders. Don't get it from Coronation Street. They do it in those programs, so it must be good. No, no, no. Find people who are trustworthy, who are righteous, who are wise, and listen to them. And then your life will reflect righteousness and wisdom and life. Wise advice. Here's the next one. Divine guidance, Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan for their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And again, the Good News Bible translates it, you may make your plans, but God directs your actions. Divine guidance. Now, don't misread the proverb. Solomon says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. That's a good thing. It's good to plan. If you haven't planned, then you're not going to have any dinner when you get home. Because one, you won't have put the chicken in the oven, or two, you won't have food in the fridge or in your cupboards because you didn't plan to shop this week. And you might go back to either a cold home because you didn't put the heating on, or you got no hot water, or you might find that you can't get in your home because you didn't plan to bring your keys with you. Planning is important in small ways as well as important ways. We plan as we can and should, but here's the point. Often our plans just come from our own desires. I've planned our family holiday, and towards the end of July and August, we'll be somewhere hot and sunny. I've made plans for our summer camp in August, so that when the kids come, we have a good time. I've even made plans for Christmas. That's how organized I am. But I'm wise enough to know they can all go pear-shaped. And we might not get to our holiday destination. Camp might not happen. We've had to cancel them in the past. 2 years because of COVID. 1 year because of a sickness bug halfway through camp. You can't guarantee it. And Christmas, it seems a great time. Hey, let's hope we're all around to enjoy it. We don't know. And that's the point. You know, I grew up and I was converted in a tiny little gospel hall in the Midlands. And I can remember Frank Grimes used to come out and give the notices. And whenever he read the notices, at the end of the notices, he always said this, DV. And then he would sit down. We had no idea in the world what DV was. You know, what was it, DV, weather permitting? I don't know what. Never explained it. He would just say, all these meetings are DV. And then he'd sit down. Well, DV is shorthand for Latin. Dio Volente. Dio Volente, which simply means God willing. We hope to have all these meetings and activities this week, but we can't guarantee them. It's DV. It's God willing. God willing. Man proposes, God disposes. That's what the 15th century writer Thomas A. Kempis wrote in his book, The Imitation of Christ. You can make all the plans you like, and often they will come true, but you cannot guarantee them. So make sure your plans are in the will of God, and then they will come to fruition. Here's the next one. Proverbs 21:5. Upward profit. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. As surely as haste leads to poverty. And the Good News Bible says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. Upward profit. I'm going to pick on a certain person here. I hope you don't mind. But there's a certain young man on the front row who's got an allotment. And if he plans it and works hard at it, he'll get his reward. If he just goes to his allotment, sits down by his patch, enjoys a cup of tea and a sandwich and a bit of peace and quiet, he's going to have to go to Tesco's on the way home and buy those beans and buy those potatoes and buy those tomatoes. Because if you plan and you work hard, it leads to profit. But if you're lazy, you don't plan, you don't work hard, you end up with zilch. And that's what Solomon says in this Proverbs. Upward profit to those who work hard and plan. And then this one here, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Essential dependence. I mentioned that in the kids' talk when we thought about David and Goliath. A horse in battle at the time of Solomon was a military weapon. A horse and a chariot, or a horse is like having a tank in your army. And if you fought people who didn't have horses and chariots, you won easily. Just like an army with a tank will always win just infantrymen on the ground. It is a fearsome weapon. But this proverb says, and our Bible shows us again and again and again, that victory is not found in horses and chariots and weapons. Victory comes through the Lord. David and Goliath. You come at me with a sword and a shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord, said David. And David got the victory. So we depend on God. Without him, we will never have victory. And what is true in a military sense is true in a spiritual sense, spiritual warfare. We cannot defeat the devil. We cannot defeat sin in our lives in our own strength. We will fail every time. There's a name for those who try. It's called victim. But when we trust in the Lord and we allow him to reign in our lives, we can know victory. We can know victory. Habits can be broken. Desires can be changed. And we can find power over sin. Power to live a life that is pleasing to ourselves, but most of all to him. And then the last proverb. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And the Good News Bible paraphrases it or translates it. Never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen between now and then. Hey, daily trust. Daily trust. It's human nature to be confident in what the future holds. And like I say, we all boast about our plans. I wonder how many people have boasted about going to Wembley today for the playoffs between Southampton and Leeds, but have broken down on the way. Illness happened overnight and they're not well enough to go. They got there and forgot their ticket. And they're going to miss the game. They're going to miss the game. How many of you have had to rearrange your plans this week? You wanted to do that. Oh, it's raining. We'll go tomorrow instead. I had my dentist phone up saying, "Now, Mr. Curley, your appointment?" "Yep, we're changing it." "Oh, thanks for the warning." The point of the proverb is this: not ruling out planning for the future, but don't be overconfident. Hey, daily trust for daily living. It's what the Lord's Prayer says. Give us this day our daily bread. We look each day to the Lord to provide. And it's not just food. Bread is symbolic of all our needs. He promises daily help. So one day at a time, as the old hymn says, sweet Jesus. And let me finish with a quote from Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher and author. He considered what a blessing it was not to know what the future holds. And Spurgeon wrote these words: "To know the good that might happen, to know the good might lead us to presumption. To know the evil might tempt us to despair. Happy for us is that our eyes cannot penetrate the thick veil which God hangs between us and tomorrow, that we cannot see beyond the spot where we are now, and that, in a certain sense, we are utterly ignorant of the details of the future. We may indeed be thankful for our ignorance." We don't just look to the future, we look to the God who guides us in the future. And as we align our will with his will, we head in the right direction. A sheep that follows the other sheep gets lost. A sheep who follows the shepherd will always have protection, will always have food, will always have clean water. Psalm 23. So keep your eyes on the shepherd, not the sheep. Daily trust is what this says. So what about the future? Hey, the future is bright if you follow the shepherd. And we plan for the future and we say, "Lord, thy will be done, not mine." So we align our will to his as he leads us and guides us. Let's pray. Lord, many of these proverbs are very simplistic. In some ways, they're common sense, but we thank you for them. We need reminding again and again. And Lord, help us to have our spiritual spectacles on when we read them, so that we can see you and your wisdom in them and how we should apply them to our lives. So apply your word to each and to every heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.